servants, that is our desire, to actually behold the beauty of the Lord, to appreciate Him more, to become stronger in our love and service for Him. And to help us do that, I've taken this little story, this little encounter that Jesus had with these friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and I trust that as we examine them, we can pick up something of the Spirit. At least Mary's example here is a great example for us to follow. As she sat at Jesus' feet, as she listened to Him, as she was attentive to His words, as she wanted to learn more of what He would have in her life and just enjoy His fellowship together. And I think that's the kind of heart that the Lord looks for in us as we come to a communion service. He wants us to have that heart to desire Him, to desire that relationship and commitment to Him that is manifest by Mary here. That same attitude is in Psalm 63. We're going to sing that after the message here. Psalm 63 says, O God, You are my God, and early will I seek for You. My soul is athirst for You. That's a very graphic picture. My soul is athirst for You. My flesh cries out for You from out a dry and thirsty land, a land where no water is. For thus to behold You in splendid strength, I gazed after You in the holy place. Since Your grace is much more than life, my lips will give praise to You. Same idea. I gazed after You in the holy place. That's what I'm trying to bring before you this morning, that as you come to the Lord's Supper and as we sit at Jesus' feet, we gaze upon Him. I don't know what your situation is like right now, but it may be like a dry and thirsty land, like the psalmist mentions here. But I think as you come and sit at Jesus' feet, you can be refreshed. You can find that refreshment from Him as we drink in the living water that Jesus supplies, which becomes in us a well of water springing up to everlasting life. Proverbs 8:34 says, Blessed is the man who listens to Me, watching daily at My doors, waiting at My doorway. Well, we can come to God anytime, I guess, with this kind of desire, but certainly in the Lord's Supper, we gaze after Him in the holy place. It is a time where we are really close to our Lord. We sit at His feet, and we realize that His grace is much more than life, as the psalmist expressed it. And He's the one who gives us hope. He gives the one who gives us strength in our walk with God day by day. Isaiah reminds us, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not grow faint. Well, that's our desire. We don't want to get weary in our Christian walk. There's a lot of pressure out there. The world's enticements are strong. The pressures of evil are certainly around us, and we need to be refreshed in the presence of Jesus in order to keep that strength up, to be refreshed and to be strong. And that's one of the great values of the sacrament, I think, because it brings Jesus right back around into the center of focus in our life. And that's why the Lord told us to do it over and over again, to come into that remembrance of Him and recall His great sacrifice for us. Well, Jesus often visited the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. They were very close friends. And on this occasion, both, I think, Martha and Mary were interested in showing their affection for Him, their attention to Him and His needs. But they went about it in different ways, and both of them really are good ways, but actually Jesus said that Mary's path was a better one. Martha chose service. Mary chose fellowship. And in this particular case, Jesus said the fellowship is better. So think of that this morning as we think about fellowship with Jesus Christ, how important that is. Martha was busy ministering to what she considered Jesus' needs at the moment. Mary was simply glad to be with him, to listen to him, to learn from him, to enjoy that close fellowship. Jesus had said earlier, "I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many." Our service to Christ certainly has merit, but our time with the Master, the time we spend with him, is more precious, I think, to him and to us as well. Spurgeon quotes this poem to emphasize that idea. "At the feet of Jesus, listening to his word, learning wisdom's lesson from her loving Lord, Mary, led by heavenly grace, chose the meek disciple's place. At the feet of Jesus is the place for me. There a humble learner would I choose to be." I think that's got a good thought in it. Let us make it our goal then today, in quietness and repose, to fellowship, to sit at the feet of Jesus, to enjoy that fellowship with him, reflecting deeply on his grace and being enriched by his presence and his love. Let me just mention three things that I think we learn about the posture of sitting at the feet of Jesus. The first is that it's a posture of learning. To sit at Jesus' feet is a posture of learning. In the Middle East, to sit at someone's feet was a sign that you were that person's disciple. That is, that you were anxious to learn from that person and let that master teach you. We read in Acts 22:3 that the Apostle Paul was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. Well, what that says is he was anxious to be taught by this Gamaliel. He was anxious to learn the perfect manner of the law, and he was a willing student at the feet of Gamaliel. Now, to sit at someone's feet is a humble position, and yet one writer said, with Jesus, it is the most delightful of all places. There's no better teacher, of course, than Jesus himself. No better place to learn what it means to serve God, to know God, to be of use to God. Remember what Jesus said at the end of his life? He said, "I have glorified you on this earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do." He said that to his Father. "I have glorified you on the earth." Now, isn't that precisely what you and I say we are out to do? Don't we say that my chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever? So if Jesus did that in his life ministry, and I sit at his feet, I can learn how to glorify him as well. To come to Jesus and assume this posture is really saying, "I'm hungry for what you will teach me. I'm hungry that you, I'm eager to be instructed by all the things that you can tell me." And that's good, because Jesus also said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled." So as we assume this posture of sitting at Jesus' feet, we are wanting to learn, and it says God will fill us. I think Mary saw that opportunity and would not miss the opportunity which was there. I think at the Lord's table we have that same opportunity. That is, we don't have Jesus here in physical form. We do have him here in symbol. We do have him here by his Holy Spirit. And in this observance, we are able to look upon him. We are able to listen to him. We are able to remember his love and his grace on our behalf, and we are actually able to partake of him. That is, we can be spiritually nourished through the sacrament as we receive these elements that represent his person. And I hope you're somewhat anticipating that experience, that as you sit at his feet today and welcome his teaching, that you also will be refreshed. Now, that's not only true, of course, at the sacrament time, that is when we observe the Lord's Supper. It's true any time. Jesus abides in our homes where his people are. He says he'll never leave us. And I hope that you take time regularly to sit down with him and sit at his feet. I hope you don't become too busy in your many activities to not have that precious time to fellowship with your Lord. Maybe I could suggest a practical exercise even this afternoon. You might take a passage like Hebrews chapter 10 that talks about that God's opening a new and living way into his presence. Just read that chapter this afternoon. Take some time before the day is out to read Hebrews chapter 10 and continue the closeness that we experience in the sacrament right here this morning or this afternoon. So sitting at the feet of Jesus is a posture of learning. It is also a posture of loving. Both Mary and Martha, I think, had great admiration and affection for Jesus. They loved to have him in their home. They both wanted to show and demonstrate their love for him. And as we said, both were doing good things, but Jesus identifies one action as better. Better because love desires fellowship more than service. If I could just picture an engaged couple who have arranged a dinner date, and the girl has planned to cook this unique dinner and make it a very special evening. And so the table is set, the candles are in place, and the young man arrives. She seats him in the living room and then hurries to the kitchen to complete the final preparations. And he can hear the activity, but he can't see her. And after a period of waiting, he goes to the kitchen door and he is met with the announcement that the supper is ready and he is to take his place at the table. Well, they talk together over this candlelit table, but she continually excuses herself to fill the water glasses, to get the salt and pepper, to fix the dessert, and so on. And then when dinner's over, there are dishes to wash and there's food to put away, and time passes and the evening is gone. And he thinks to himself, I would have preferred ordering pizza delivered and shared the time together rather than having all this fuss and no fellowship. Fellowship is the important thing. Love always desires to be in the presence of the loved one. And in Mary's case, sitting at Jesus' feet really accomplish that. Now, for us, it's the same. Our love for Jesus shows itself in our longing to be with him, to enjoy that fellowship together, to commune with him in prayer, to listen to his voice through the Word of God as it comes back to us. Doesn't it seem a little empty to you to say that we love our Savior and then seldom find time to be alone with him? Seldom have time for that fellowship and communion with him, to be casual about our attendance perhaps at the public worship where he is honored and exalted, to be reluctant to join others in times of prayer where they are in direct communication with him. Real love acts differently than that. Real love will seek out that fellowship. I think Mary's kind of love seeks those opportunities where Jesus and she and Jesus can enjoy the fellowship together. I see it again in Psalm 73. I am always with you, the psalmist says, speaking to God. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me up to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And being with you, I desire nothing on earth. There it is. Being with you, I desire nothing on earth. As for me, it is good to be near my God. So the posture of sitting at Jesus' feet is a posture of loving. And if we love our Savior, we want to be with Him. And then it's a posture of liberation. When you're given the privilege of sitting at Jesus' feet, your spirit is really set free. Think about it. The burdens and necessities of life are lifted. You are able to enjoy a sense of peace and contentment, security that is found nowhere else. Nowhere else but at the feet of Jesus. You sense a real freedom there because Jesus, after all, is the Lord of the universe. You are sitting at the feet of the one who is King of kings, all kings, and Lord over all lords. He is the one who said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." He is the one who said, "I have gone into the heavens and presently sit at God's right hand with angels and authorities and powers, all in submission to me." And you are given the privilege of sitting at his feet, this King of kings. And he is the one who sets you free to sit at his feet and realize who he is. And beyond that, to realize that he has granted you the right to be in his family, a citizen of his kingdom, is really a position beyond monetary value. There's no price that you could put on that. It is more precious than anything. I think Mary appears to have appreciated that idea, that position, embraced that relationship. It means everything to her. So when Jesus comes, she immediately comes and sits at his feet. I'm afraid Martha is not so free. Verse 40 says, Martha is distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. I think Jesus wants to liberate her from these burdens. In verse 41, he says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about many and upset about many things, but one thing is needed." So she's distracted, she's worried, she's upset, she's bothered. These are terms of bondage. These are not terms of freedom. There's no joy in her activity, no sense of satisfaction and fulfillment in the service that she is rendering at the moment. She is rather fretful over the lack of service that Mary is giving to her. And a root of bitterness, I think, is rising up in her heart, not only toward Mary, but toward Jesus himself, because she says to him, "Don't you care about me and the fact that my sister's not helping me?" Well, that's bondage. We need to learn from this what really is important. It's not excessive activity, good as that may be, but it's a relationship that we enjoy with Jesus. The quiet repose where we sit at his feet, realize what an honor we have to know him, to be a friend of him, to have him to be our friend, to love us. It's true, so true, that if the Son shall set you free, you will be free indeed. So we have the privilege on this Lord's Day to again sit at Jesus' feet, to actually enjoy fellowship in his presence, to remember the incredible sacrifice that he has given on our behalf, to rejoice in his deliverance of us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light. And I hope you rejoice in this event as I do in my own heart. Take full advantage of it as you sit at his feet today. Let me close with the words of a song that Ethel Waters used to sing at Billy Graham Crusades. And I think it summarizes this truth very nicely. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's our privilege today to sit at Jesus' feet. Let's pray together. O God, our Heavenly Father, it is such a privilege to know this one who is King of kings and Lord of lords, to even have the privilege of friendship and fellowship with this Savior. Lord, that means everything to us. And as we sit at his feet today, as we think about what he has done for us, that has made it possible for us to enjoy this fellowship, we pray that you would strengthen us, that you would refresh us, that each one of us can go from this place with a closer walk with you. And so, Lord, hear our prayer. Bless us in the sacrament itself. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.